Welcome to the January 11th, 2013 Drupalize Me podcast. Drupalize Me. Welcome to the Drupalize Me podcast. It comes out every other Friday, except, in the New Year holiday period, when we took a little break. But we are back and ready to talk more Drupal. I am Addison Berry, and today I have with me a bunch of Lullabots. I have
Joe Schindler,
as well as
Kyle Hoffmeyer.
And last but not least,
Wumpy!
Woohoo! This is Wompy's first podcast, and he has neighbors chilling in the background. Woo! Awesome. Welcome, everybody. So for today's podcast, what we're going to be doing is taking a look back at 2012, sort of what happened in the last year in the Drupal world, and then we're going to talk about 2013. It's a new year, and there's a lot of cool things on the horizon. So, before we dive into chatting about that stuff, though, quick news line thingy information part. I don't know. Kind of lost it there. Okay, anyway. Videos. At the end of December, we finished up the Coding for Drush series, so that entire series is now complete and out and available. We've just recently we finished up the views, coding for views. There were a couple of videos there that we hadn't finished, and those are done. And we've been putting out a bunch of free videos on various community things like how to use Drupal.org, how to use IRC, things like that. So, and we have a bunch more stuff like that coming in the next few weeks. In terms of events that we have going on, in January, there's a whole bunch of camps. Like, everybody, like, chills out, like, over the New Year holiday period. And then there's, like, this explosion of events happening all within, like, a week of each other in January. So we have Drupal Camp Western Massachusetts, which is in Amherst, Massachusetts. There's Drupal Camp Westport in Westport, Ireland. There is Drupal Camp Columbia in Cartagena. I can't say it. Wompy, you have to say it properly.
Cartagena.
Thank you. PHP Benelux Conference in Edegem, Belgium. I know I'm mulling that as well. That's not a Drupal specific thing, but Drupal's built on PHP, and it would probably be a really good opportunity to get out and mingle with other people in the open source PHP world. And then we also have Sand Camp, which is happening in San Diego, California. And I have to say, San Diego, at the end of January, sounds pretty nice to me. Sadly, I will not be able to go to that, though, because I'm actually going to be going to DrupalCon Sydney, which is happening the first week of February, the 6th through the 9th. But the conference itself is actually sold out. You can get on a waiting list to get in, but right now it's sold out. But there are two things that are going on, two events that are happening sort of around the actual conference sessions themselves, which you can still attend even if you don't have a conference ticket. The first is the first day on February 6th is actually a training day where there are three workshops that are available for a fee. And myself and Jeff Eaton will be doing real-world Drupal. And basically we'll be, you know how to build a Drupal site, but how do you actually do an entire project and launch it and get it out the door. All of those little other pieces that need to come into play, things like actually breaking down specs and requirements, and how do you actually turn that into actionable things, and what are those components in Drupal. Doing things like estimating, making sure your timeline is reasonable, and like various things around launching. Like, you work a lot in the development space and everything's all good, but when you come to launch, there are a whole bunch of things that you need to really sort of be aware of and make sure that you're taking care of in order for a successful launch. So anyway, we'll be doing an entire day workshop sort of on all of that kind of stuff. And then on February the 9th, which is the Saturday of the conference, is Sprint Day. And that is just an open day, again, no conference ticket needed, where the entire community just sort of gets together, hangs out, and works on stuff together. And it can be code, it can be documentation, it can be, you know, business discussions. It's sort of everything where people get together and just sit down and actually really work on things rather than just talking about them. I'm also going to be doing our community tools workshop that morning, Saturday morning, which is a free workshop at part of the sprint to get people sort of bootstrapped with the tools that we use in our community. So if you want to get involved, it covers things like how to use IRC, getting a local development environment set up, making sure that you have like the pieces in place you need to work on Drupal 8, that kind of thing. So again, that's free and open, and you can just sort of show up and hang out with lots of Drupal people. So anyway, cool stuff. I'm excited about Sydney. I also do have to admit that I'm a little excited to be in Australia in February, because it's kind of very cold and dark where I live right now. Okay, so that's the news. Dun, 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 dun. Now for the main topic. We're going to talk about 2012. What big stuff happened in 2012 that had an impression on you guys in the Drupal world?
Videos in core.
Yeah. In Drupal 8. Not in Drupal 7. So for folks who are using Drupal 7, don't get too excited. We don't put new features in existing versions of Drupal. So in Drupal 7, we ended up putting CCK into core as fields, or field module. And now in Drupal 8, when Drupal 8 comes out, we're going to have views in core when you download it, which is pretty amazing, and probably an amazing amount of work went into that. There are a lot of things actually that happened in Drupal 8. Like Drupal 8 core is kind of crazy talk right now in my mind. Like, what other big things have gone into Drupal 8 so far?
I think there's just the whole inclusion of lots of third-party libraries, including a bunch of stuff from the Symfony project now being included in Drupal 8. And Twig as well, which is the theming system somewhat related to Symfony. There's been a bunch of additional JavaScript libraries included in Drupal core, like Create.js and Backbone and stuff that just wasn't there before. And I think it's interesting to see that, and we saw this a lot in the last year, that all of a sudden there's this, I think, lower barrier to entry for including third-party libraries in Drupal, and this idea that, hey, maybe we should take advantage of all of the work that other people are doing in their respective projects rather than recreating the wheel every time, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, there's, you know, but I guess you can also have the other argument, but then it sort of makes us, you know, dependent on those things in some way, I guess. But I think it makes a lot of sense, though, because instead of us reinventing the wheel over and over again, and we can also talk a bit more like later on and stuff, and looking forward when Drupal 8 does finally come out. But it's also interesting, the, you know, people who work with all these external tools then already have sort of a toehold in Drupal. You know, it's not something that they have to relearn the Drupal way that we've done things. It's just an existing tool set that people know, which is pretty cool too, I think.
Though I would also say the reverse is somewhat true, in that I totally learned PHP as a result of getting started with Drupal, and so like all of my programming knowledge, or a lot of it, comes from working with Drupal, and now all of a sudden I'm learning about all these crazy different PHP standards like PSR0 and namespacing and lots of new object-oriented stuff that's fascinating, but it's also, I think, going to prove to be a bit of a hurdle for me to get further into Drupal 8 stuff, just because there are a bunch of new conventions that I have to learn, which is exciting. I like learning new things, but it's definitely a change from the way that we've done things up to this point.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, yeah, for me it's a little bit daunting as well, but I do, yeah, there's always this the balance, right, between I already know how to do things this way, and I just sort of am in my groove and I want to get my work done, and I don't want to have to stop and learn something new in order to keep progressing. But on the other hand, I think learning these new things and, you know, the other standards and tools that people are using is probably, you know, much better for me, like down the road in the bigger picture, for my understanding of the tool that I use and what are the best practices and what is the bigger picture, rather than just being so Drupal focused that I basically, you know, could code myself into just a corner.
Yeah, you get familiarity with other tools, and that way you get an idea of like what other than Drupal is out there and what tools could you use that may do everything that you need and for certain projects and not even need Drupal necessarily, and now you have some background in using them. I'm excited about that. I think that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah.
This reminds me of a post I read recently at Larry Garfield's blog, where he was saying get off the Drupal island and learn some stuff from other communities or other technologies. Then you can come back to the community wiser and share what you have learned. And maybe it's time for doing that.
Yeah. I think it's generally a good trend sort of in the Drupal mindset. We've done a lot of really awesome work as a community, and other people have learned, you know, and taken things from us in many ways. But I think if we really... I mean, again, like, this is for me and not just for Drupal, too, is, you know, if it's really about sort of, like, growth. And, like, I love going to non-Drupal conferences and being exposed to lots of new ideas, that, you know, and sort of getting outside of that box or off the island really is an amazing perspective. So so I think that's generally a good trend in our community, that we're spreading out more and things, because we can learn a lot from what's out there as well and bring it back, you know?
I can't wait to see, I mean, all these words, symphonies, twigs, and bushes, and whatever else. I can't wait to see what all this stuff does for somebody that doesn't even know any of that, what that does. As a person that enjoys using Drupal as a site builder, that I can achieve a lot of stuff with very little programming knowledge, I'm excited to see what these things have to offer. Wonder if they're going to make it more difficult or easier for, I guess, a Drupal newbie coming in. So... I mean, they seem like they're some very powerful stuff, but let's see what they do for someone that doesn't even know what they are. I can't wait to see what that does.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of the inclusion of external libraries, the Symfony stuff for sure, isn't something that as a site builder, someone who's not really writing any code, you probably won't really notice the difference, at least not initially. Like, everything will still continue to... on the front end, function pretty much the same, but the path that was taken to get there in the back end will be quite a bit different than it has been in the past. And I also think that there are some libraries that are included in some editions that will totally change how site builders or people using the interface interact, and you might notice them right away. For example, I know Create.js was added. The idea there is that hopefully that can be used to add inline editing and WYSIWYG support in Drupal 8 core, and having that is something that as a site builder I assume you would probably notice very quickly, and hopefully helps improve that experience. So things that would have not been impossible but would have been a lot harder if we were trying to invent it ourselves.
Yeah, and I think, you know, well, in terms of like just Drupal 8 generally, I mean, things like having views, you know, in core when you get it, and having CK editor, Dries just did a blog post about, they were looking at Aloha editor for Drupal 8 for a long time, most of the cycle, but they've decided to change course and use CK editor. But just like Joe's talking about, this whole idea of just having like some WYSIWYG, you know, in core is going to be a pretty big impact for site builders, I imagine. And I think the Twig stuff, within, you know, that new sort of theme engine, I'm curious to see how that gets received generally. But so far, the reception has been really good from people outside of even the Drupal world, because it's an existing, you know, sort of theme engine that exists outside of Drupal, so people don't have to sort of figure out the, I mean, PHP template technically was, but not in the, I don't think the same kind of broad usage as, say, something like Twig. So the idea is that Twig will make it a lot easier for people to come in and theme in Drupal without having to get all kind of caught up in the PHP-ness of it all. So anyway, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how it hits people. There's going to be a lot of new things in Drupal 8.
I'm particularly excited about the Twig stuff. Not so much because I don't know PHP, or even that I think Twig will be easier than PHP template. But one of the things that has happened as a result of people attempting to replace PHP template with another theme engine is that there's been a really in-depth and thorough look at sort of theming in Drupal and all the parts that make up that system, from what the module developer writes in their code all the way to the HTML that's output on the page. And as someone that's spent a lot of time teaching people how to do theming stuff in Drupal, it's really cool to see a lot of these different sort of Drupal WTFs being removed as a result of including Twig. There's a lot of instances, for example, where we've got theme functions like theme links and theme menu links, or theme item and theme menu item, and all these templates that are almost identical except for one or two minor differences. And there's been a lot of work gone into consolidating all of those things so that there's just fewer moving parts and fewer pieces that I, as a themer, need to understand now that Twig is there. And I guess you could probably say that that's been true of adding Symfony and stuff as well, that there's just been a lot of effort, I think, going into reducing the barrier to entry, making it easier to understand how Drupal works and learn the conventions that are in place, which is really exciting, especially as someone that tries to teach this stuff.
Totally. All right. So obviously 2012 was a big year for a lot of Drupal 8 work. Other things that happened. For me, one of the sadder moments of 2012 was that DrupalCon Sao Paulo got canceled. So, because that was the community, South American community, has been working for a long time, for years and years, to get a DrupalCon in South America. And there was one, it was set up to be in Sao Paulo, and everybody was sort of clipping along. And then things, I guess, didn't go so well as they sort of approached, got closer to it, and they ended up just canceling the whole thing. That said, the community has really rallied instead of sort of getting, you know, downtrodden by it. And they are making a whole bunch of other events, and they're still excited about bringing a DrupalCon to South America. And I have to give big kudos to the community down there for working so hard over such a long period and keeping so much energy up, and staying positive rather than you know, sort of dwelling on the negative around that. So kudos to you guys.
I have to add here that the fact of DrupalCon Sao Paulo being canceled made me to realize that there is actually a Drupal camp in Bolivia during February. And this came, I realized about this reading on Fernando Paredes, who's the leader of the South American, Latin American Drupal community. Well, in his blog, he was posting that the fact of this con being canceled has produced like all this energy that has been condensed in it, has generated other events that, so now we have Drupal camps throughout the next 3 months in Bolivia, in Mexico, in Guatemala. There's also this Drupal Pichu, which seems to be, I don't know if it's going to be a DrupalCon, but it's going to be something really nice and cool. And that's going to happen in Peru, in beautiful Cusco in 2014. And it's something, at the end, it's been something positive.
Yeah, totally. And I am very excited about going to Drupal Pichu.
Yeah, me too.
I am going to.
I wonder
make
if
sure
I could
I
come up with a way to just go like Drupal camp hopping. Sounds like there's going to be a bunch of South America coming up. And with it being super cold in Minneapolis right now, it's kind of like, oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
I would go there.
Warmth and sun sounds good right now.
I'll follow you with a camera, Joe. We can make a documentary out of it.
Yes. Nice. That would be awesome. Yeah, we just have to, you know, schedule that in, and it'll be good. Yeah, so what other stuff do we have on our listy here for?
Board elections.
Yes, board elections. Yeah, so the Drupal Association had... their board elections again, and a new executive director has been added, but that's not elected. The board elections, well, the elections are really just for two positions on the board, right? Like, those are the community, the at-large board members that the community actually votes for. The rest of the board is sort of selected, internally voted. But yeah, we had elections, and this is the second time that we've had those elections. And I think actually the first ones were sort of at the very beginning of 2012, and then we had these at the end of 2012. I think maybe it's fit in. Anyway, it's the Drupal Association, I guess, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years, they changed the structure of the association and the board and how that works. And so now, and when they did that, they kind of got it very focused on, you know, getting people who, you know, it's great to have lots of people who have lots of enthusiasm and excitement for open source, but running a nonprofit organization is quite a lot of work and requires a little bit of, grounding in certain skills. So they wanted to make sure that the board of directors actually had like a good skill set to actually carry the organization forward. But they didn't want to lose the energy and the voice of the larger community. There's sort of some concern that, you know, maybe that would end up getting sort of shut out in some way. And so we have these two members of the board who are elected from the community. And I'm excited to see what they do. It was Morten DK and Pedro Cambra, and they both have a lot of energy and have been very involved and very vocal about various things in the community. So it'll be interesting to see, how 2013 ends up shaping up for them.
I really enjoyed the process of the election, because I remember that you were supposed, if you wanted to support a candidate, you had to publicly ask questions to him, so the rest of the community could see his point of view, and this actually reflected a lot the profile of each of the candidates. That was very nice.
Yeah, and I think this, for this election, because like I said, this is a second one, and I think this one had a lot more, from my perspective, just maybe it was also me, maybe my world in paying attention, but this one seemed to have a lot more traction in the community and a lot more, discussion that was going on and things like that. So I think it was great. What else you guys got?
I think maybe back to talking about Drupal 8, because apparently that's what I'm thinking about right now. One of the things that happened in 2013 was the Drupal 8 feature freeze got extended or missed or whatever you would like to call it. When development on Drupal 8 started, Dries laid out a roadmap, essentially, that had specific dates at which things like feature freeze, code freeze, string freeze, and so forth would happen. So milestones within Drupal 8 development. And the first of those was going to be feature freeze, which was initially slated for, I believe, December 1st of 2012. And as we got closer and closer to that date, everybody started to panic a little bit. And then everybody started working really hard on including some additional features, some fairly notable things too, like a WYSIWYG editor. And I think that Dries and the other maintainers recognized that there was a lot of momentum in the community at that point, and that it didn't make sense yet to put the brakes on and say, hold on, stop, let's just work on polishing things, especially with all these new inclusions like Symfony and Twig. I think making sure that there was a few extra months of time to, now that those things are there, that we can actually make use of them as well, is important. But it's also interesting to see that happen again. We saw basically feature freeze extension with Drupal 7 as well, and there was a lot of people in the community that were upset or disappointed that we weren't sticking to some kind of predetermined roadmap. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. The new feature freeze, so it was extended to, I believe, April 1st is when the next
April Fool's Day.
Is it April already?
Wait, April 1st. Mm. I wonder if they'll be like, oh, April Fool's. Yeah. It's actually May 1st.
Totally.
But it was March.
No, yeah, if you go to look at, well, we'll put a link in the thing to the release schedule stuff, but December 1st to April 1st. And then Code Freeze is April 1st until we get to release candidates.
I found a related tweet very funny on Twitter before the deadline was delayed, which is everybody was saying that the feature freeze deadline was like stuffing as much food on your mouth and figure out how to chew it later, and that's actually what has been happening with all these little components from Symfony and little frameworks being committed into core, and plus all the core changes, and of course this needs some extra work before getting to this deadline. So I think that it's logical to have a deadline. At the end, a lot of people have been working, especially over the last weeks, and I think that what Dries is trying is just to get the most out of this momentum by extending the deadline, which is something really positive.
Yeah, I don't think sticking to arbitrary deadlines just because it's a deadline. I mean, I understand that people get frustrated and they want things to get done and then and ship, and of course this affects the entire timeline for when Drupal 8 is going to come out and that kind of a thing. But I think I think trying to jam a whole bunch of things in there but not actually really take the time to figure out how they should work together, or what piece is perhaps missing that would make the sum of it much better than just the individual things that aren't connected because they're missing something or something, is well worth our community's time to make sure that we get it right. Imho. Last thing that I have on my list, and I don't know if anybody here has been involved in this at all, but Drupal.org is actually upgrading to Drupal 7. And, Drupal 7 came out, 2 years ago now? So it's been a huge, huge project. Drupal.org is a pretty big honking site, and a whole lot of users and nodes on it. And we have the entire, project module suite kind of a thing going on for downloading all of your contributed modules and organizing that stuff. And so they've been, so there's a team that's working to upgrade that. And the plan was to get that launched in 2012. It's one of the top priorities for the association. Basically a year ago, they came up with sort of what's the plan for 2012. And this was one of the top things to get done. But like all projects, as I'm sure we all know too well, they haven't quite got it into 2012, but as far as I can tell, they're close, and they should be able to finish the upgrade soon, in the next couple months. So, so that's, back in the day, Drupal.org used to upgrade, we used to run on head, but then we kind of went off that, and we would upgrade to the latest version when we released it, so that when we released a new version, Drupal.org would be running it that day. But as things have gotten a lot bigger, more complex, and you're talking about volunteers, upgrading a site in your free time is, it takes time and energy and a lot of coordination, because there are a lot of different people involved and a lot of different moving pieces. And, it's great to have, one or two people who, sit here and work on this thing and that thing. But if there's not actual coordination and sort of, actual project management that really needs to happen when you're talking about projects on this scale. So something that the Drupal Association has been really putting their energy and money into making happen. So so I'm looking forward to that happening soon.
I have never been involved in this Drupal.org upgrade project, but I'd like to raise a question here. Do you guys have anybody? I think I read an issue once about this. What would be the problems of, for example, moving our project management within Drupal.org to GitHub, for example, such as the Symfony community does? I remember that we used to use CVS before, But I don't know, I've been working lately with a lot with GitHub in some of the projects, and I realized, come on, this is great. And I get the feeling that one of the problems for upgrading to Drupal 7 in Drupal.org is because of this.
Yeah. I'm sure that there are threads and debates all over the place on there if we Google them. I have not actually been involved in any of those questions or discussions around moving to GitHub, but it does sort of, you know, tie into that whole thing of like our community, you know, we want to eat our own dog food, we want to, you know, build our own tools, but then there are other people who've also built really awesome tools, and we can focus on, you know, the things that are sort of more particular to what we're doing. And especially when it's something like that, that's, you know, it's a tool and a service that we use as a community, but it's not, you know, part of Drupal core. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of with you on that, but I don't know what the answer against that is. I don't know if anybody here has opinions that don't agree with Wampy, but
I think that Drupal.org has always been and always probably will be one of the Drupal community's like greatest assets. And I think there's a bit of concern about moving development to something like GitHub and taking the people that are building Drupal and having them work somewhere other than the place that the people that are using Drupal are also collaborating. Because right now with Drupal.org, there's a lot of interaction between people that are actively involved with building modules, building Drupal itself, and people that are using Drupal to build sites. And if we move all of the like code aspect of development elsewhere, like GitHub, for example, there's not a very compelling reason for someone that isn't involved with the code to go to GitHub and look through the issue queue and interact with developers. But on Drupal.org, I think it's easier, at least, because everything is in one place. So that would be one argument for me on why moving to GitHub maybe isn't the greatest idea. I could also come up with lots of reasons why I think it is a good idea. So.
Yeah, that's, I think it's something that, yeah, you could go back and forth and debate on quite a lot of issues. Maybe we'll make another podcast out of that.
I don't see it happening anytime soon, though.
Yeah.
Not me neither.
Yeah. Does anybody have any other, I'm just trying to think if there's any other big Drupal news items, but those seem like the biggest ones on my radar. Does anybody have anything else?
Well, I think you guys mentioned the switch from Aloha Editor to CK Editor. I got very surprised because I've been reading over the last months about how the Aloha community has been working with and helping the Drupal community to on the Spark initiative, this in-place editing theme. And my feeling was that Aloha was going to be part of Drupal 8 and it would allow you to do in-place editing. And now it seems that the focus is right now on CK Editor. Mm-hmm. I wonder if CK Editor has progressed as much as Aloha Editor, because it didn't in the previous, I don't know, maybe months or even more than a year, and suddenly it's up again in our ears. Have you guys heard anything about this?
Well,
yeah,
yeah.
There's actually a ton of discussion about this on Drupal.org about Aloha versus CK Editor, but I think it basically boils down to Aloha was chosen initially because at the time it supported inline editing and CK Editor did not. However, Aloha lacked a whole bunch of features and was just far less mature than CK Editor, but it had support for this one thing that was really wanted for the Spark initiative, inline editing. And then there was a lot of work put into using Aloha, and the Aloha community was amazing in helping add features and fix bugs and so forth. And in the meantime, the CK Editor community also had been working on CK Editor and added support for inline editing. And so now the question kind of becomes, well, do we use CKEditor, which is a more mature platform for doing the WYSIWYG, especially when it comes to just a straight up WYSIWYG on the back end and not so much with the inline editing stuff, which is where Aloha, I think, starts to break down. Or do we go with the hot new, you know, Aloha editor? There's probably pros and cons to both, but at the moment, I think the focus has been on CKEditor, especially because it provides a really good back-end WYSIWYG interface and is capable of doing the inline editing. And then it has all these things that were sort of missing from Aloha. For example, accessibility is much higher with CKEditor, probably yeah. because it's been around and worked on for a lot longer.
And that was a big, big, big sticking point with Aloha, was that there were a lot of accessibility concerns, and there was a lot of work to be done to try and get it close enough to basically pass through, you know, the gates and standards that the community had for that.
But I also, there is that question of, like, Aloha Editor's community did so much to answer the Drupal community's questions and push development of Aloha forward, and it's one of those, like, yeah, that's really awesome that they did that, and it's a bummer that it
doesn't work out.
Didn't work out, but I think in the end, where things are at right now, that CKEditor is probably the better choice for inclusion in core.
And you'd also like to—I mean, I would think and hope that you know, the Aloha team, you know, did a lot on the Aloha editor and working with us and stuff like that. But it made the Aloha editor a much better product. So. You know, it's not like they did all this work for nothing, right? Like, I mean, and we're still, you know, really friendly, and it's not like you won't be able to, you can use Aloha with Drupal. Just because CKEditor will be sort of like what, you know, is the sort of the default one that comes with core doesn't mean that you can't use other editors. And so I'm sure that the work on Aloha is going to continue, and Aloha will probably be a good, you know, alternative editor that people will be able to use in Drupal 8. It just won't be the default one that comes with core. All right. So, keep things moving along here. What was your, each individually, your personal most memorable Drupal experience from 2012? Joe, why don't you start us off?
I think my most memorable experience was the getting involved with Drupal Sprint in Munich, where Addy, you and I taught Drupalize Me's community tools workshop, essentially, and spent the entire day just sort of helping bootstrap a bunch of new Drupal core contributors. That was, I think, probably the highlight of my year. And I also got to help with a couple of those other sprints in Minnesota and Wisconsin and Denver and a few other places. And it's just been a lot of fun to be involved with those, getting involved with core sprints. And I'd like to just kind of give a shout out to Jess or XJM, who I think has done an amazing job of turning those sprints into something that is extremely productive and provided a lot of structure and planning beforehand and making it so that when people show up that day, they're set up for success and getting some kind of involvement in Drupal core. It's pretty cool.
Hear, hear. Yeah. She's done an amazing job. And there are a bunch of other people too. I mean, Jess has been leading that up. Tim Plunkett's done a lot of stuff too. And anyway, the whole core mentoring team, I think, has been just, you know, kicking butt. I can say that and keep it clean, right? Wampy, how about you? What's your most memorable Drupal thing?
Well, a month ago, I organized with Pedro Cambra a sprint about the Devel module, which has a version for Drupal 8. So we gathered people especially in one city of Spain where we both went there, and then some people joined as well in other cities. And I can recall that during this event, I remember that three developers sat next to me. They had experience with Drupal, but they never contributed to the community. And I was amazed how they teamed up together to install Drupal 8, clone the Devel project repository, open an issue, test it, create a patch, and submit it. And that patch, I can't remember if I finally got committed or not, but I could see their excitement during the whole process, and I could actually see myself not much long ago when I started with the community and seeing how fun it is to become part of this. I felt proud of these guys. I felt really proud, and I can recall that yeah, this was my best moment in the Drupal community throughout the previous year.
Sweet. What about you, Kyle?
Phew, where do I even start on that question? Well, 2012 had numerous Drupal-related things for me. The first one being, obviously, I started working for an awesome company called Lullabot, which also then gave me the ability to go to my first DrupalCon, and then another DrupalCon, and a Drupal camp. None of that I had ever done, even though I'd been using Drupal for a while. So 2012 was pretty freaking amazing because of all of that. So, and now I'm just looking forward to 2013. And now that I'm kind of getting out there and starting to understand the community and doing everything that I'm doing and teaching through Drupalize Me and all that, I just can't wait to get more involved now that I kind of know how and what directions to take. So, yeah, I mean, 2012 was rocking. So that's about all I got to say about that.
Rock. Well, I think for me, pretty much the same thing that Joe said, in terms of, the community sprint stuff. I did the first, community tools workshop actually at Drupal Camp DC, which was, a lot of fun, and I did that with Kyle, it was a lot of fun, and it was like a new, I felt like it was a way for me to plug into the whole core mentoring sort of movement and this whole new way of getting people involved, and Drupal ladder stuff that I've been doing, and it sort of came together and made sense and fit really well, and so then when we did the workshop in Munich, it was just, it was crazy because it wasn't very well planned. We didn't really have space. We didn't have a microphone. But it was amazing to sit in that room with all of those people. I mean, it was a huge room, and it was full of people. And we had our group that was in the workshop with us. And two of the people who were in the workshop with us in the morning and then worked on patches after they got everything set up, got their patches actually committed to core by Dries, like live on stage at the end of the day. So they sort of went from the, you know, hanging out in the workshop in the morning to, you know, being a core contributor, literally right there in front of everybody by the end of the day. To me, that was an amazing experience. And I'm definitely looking forward to more of that in 2013 as well. Go community. It's so energizing. I guess that's the thing. That's what makes it.
It's scary. So sometimes it's too much fun.
Oh, never too much fun. Well, so speaking of 2013, why don't we wrap things up by just talking a little bit about 2013 and our sort of predictions and thoughts and aspirations for the new year. I think my biggest question is, because originally Drupal 8 was supposed to be released in 2013 at DrupalCon Prague in September. But as we talked about, the feature freeze date got pushed, and so that means that, you know, everything's sort of moved forward a bit now. Does anybody think that Drupal 8 is going to actually end up getting released in 2013 now? Is that a big no? Yeah. I don't think so.
No way, but I would say that it would be very important, and I would make a call here to all module maintainers to start creating releases for Drupal 8. That helps a lot on core development. Devil module, for example, has one, and I've actually decided that commit myself actually to write one to my other modules. That would help a lot on this deadline getting succeeded.
Well, especially after feature freeze in April, having people write against the core APIs just to make sure that they're working and that your module is still capable of doing all of the things that it did in Drupal 7 in Drupal 8 is super helpful.
Yeah. we'll definitely need everybody's help to get Drupal 8 like sparkly and shiny. But I do think, yeah, I think we're going to be looking at the first quarter of 2014 for it to actually get out the door. We'll see. Never know. Drupal community can surprise you. And then we can also predict, well, because we know, I'm pretty sure, feel very confident that there will be three DrupalCons in 2013, because DrupalCon Sydney is happening in February. And so that's the first DrupalCon that's happening in the Southern Hemisphere and in Australia. So that's happening in addition to the North American DrupalCon in Portland in May and DrupalCon Europe in Prague in September. So that's exciting. We were supposed to have three in 2012, and that didn't quite happen. But 2013, it's going to happen. It's happening this year, man. I don't think that there'll be four. I don't think that the South American DrupalCon would happen in 2013. But maybe Drupal Picho in 2014 will be a DrupalCon. That's my prediction.
There's a lot of good vibrations about Drupal Picho, so I would say that would happen before a DrupalCon in South America.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Cool. So what other... Does anybody have any other predictions or aspirations for 2013? No? Just going to keep rocking it? I have a goal in 2013 that I don't know how realistic it really is, but I do. It is a goal of mine, a personal Drupal goal of mine, is that the concept of the community track in Drupal cons, but also in like larger camps, like events, having like this track that's called community. Like as someone who speaks often in that track, I don't think it works well the way it is currently, and so I've posted on GDO about this, and started some discussions with people about how we could change that, and you know, just sort of come at it from a completely different angle and try to figure out what our real goals are with that track, and then how we can accomplish those goals without necessarily having to say we have to have a community track. And the reason I say this is because as a speaker who does these a lot, it's really kind of disheartening because a lot of people don't attend community track sessions. There's always, you know, cooler, more useful, you know, tool knowledge stuff going on at the same time, and people end up having to make a choice. So one of my goals is to improve the whole community track concept at Drupal events in 2013. So we'll see how far I can get with that. But I got some big ideas, so we'll see what happens. Anybody got anything else?
Well, I can say that I'll do my best to help you on that because I love the community track. I remember my first DrupalCon was the last year's one at London, and I spent most of the time in that track because I could meet and talk with the people who have been speaking, well, discussing stuff at Drupal.org, and it was simply the place where I could find more fun during the event. I could see that actually, you know, the fact that there's not many people in the community track, it represents that there are actually not many people who contribute to Drupal.org. Or the community, so it kind of makes sense, as you said, Ali, that, for example, maybe this new fancy feature has a session and it gets the bigger room, and while some other more technical stuff that needs to be discussed gathers less attention.
Yeah. We'll see. I got plans. If anybody wants to talk to me about them, that's cool. Just get in touch with me.
I will.
I got lots of ideas, man. Cool. Well, does anybody have any last parting thoughts for the brand new year ahead other than rock on?
Seem to rock on.
Sweet. Awesome. Well, thanks a lot, guys, for being on the podcast. Our very first of 2013, the first of many, many more to come. And if you would like to let us know what you think of the podcast, or you have suggestions for what you would like us to talk about on the podcast. We're actually, our next podcast is going to be based on a suggestion that somebody left as a comment. Which is going to be about still kind of talking about community, but we're going to specifically talk about the blockers that newbies hit, particularly on the sort of the technical side of things. But anyway, so stay tuned for that. But anyway, if you have stuff that you would like us to know about the podcast, get in touch with us. You can get in touch with us on Twitter, twitter.com/DrupalizeMe. On Facebook, same thing, facebook.com/DrupalizeMe. Or you can use our contact form at drupalize.me/contact. And of course, you can also always leave comments on the actual podcast page on lullabot.com. So thanks a lot, everybody. Welcome to the new year. I hope it's a great year for everybody, and we will talk to you next time.